This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. As the day rolls on, my voice gets a little closer to its normal timbre. But this morning, early on, I sounded almost as bad as I did last week. I apologize for that. Hopefully I shake this thing soon, whatever has been going on with my voice here. Glad you're with us. We're live up on all the socials this morning, the X, the Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. Rumble as well. Almost forgot about that one. You can always follow us using the Odyssey app. We make that one as easy as possible for you as well. So you can wherever you go, you can take 97.1 with you. If you can't listen over the air, that makes it really easy for you. At least we try to make it easy for you because that's what we're doing here. Coming up, we got Tom Ackerman. We'll talk more about football playoffs. We'll talk about the Chiefs eking one out again here close to the end of the game. And we're going to talk about of course, Mizzou's big win against number one Kansas. First time in a few years they pulled one of those off. And what does it mean for their season? All that's coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. But first, Carl, I would like to get to this morning's short list, please.
The Mark Cox Short List.
Donald Trump's father's main political advisor, and then President Trump. And Roy Cohn said, no matter what happens, always deny everything.
We got a couple of gems for you this morning from William Jefferson Clinton. First of all, claiming it's Donald Trump who lies about everything. This is Bill Clinton saying that. And number two, claiming the mainstream media was to blame for Hillary Clinton's loss back in 2016.
Because you wrote on Truth Social in 2023 that you're going to appoint a real special prosecutor to go after Joe Biden. Now you're saying you're not going to do that.
I will say this. No, I'm not doing that.
That is Donald Trump, of course. He said he has no intention of going after Joe Biden. Now, that said, if the Department of Justice sees something there, then that's up to them to go after it.
President Biden has issued a full pardon for his son, Hunter. Hunter celebrated his father's decision by celebrating way less than he used to.
Potentially. But, of course, we really don't know the answer to that, do we, when it gets right down to it? Even SNL parodying, I guess you would say, right? The fact that Hunter Biden got a blanket 11-year pardon.
And so I talked to my doctor today, and I did a video telehealth, and they said that it's not a cold sore, it's some reaction to the sun. Now,
you know, there, you have to sit back and appreciate the complete mental collapse of the left over Donald Trump getting back into office. We know there are some who have left the country over it, right? Ellen DeGeneres and her wife. The Rosie O'Donnell meltdown may be among the best, though, because she just randomly posts videos to TikTok of her sitting by her pool at her estate, feeding squirrels and rambling on about how awful a person Donald Trump is. This is all she talks about.
She feeds squirrels? Does she think she's Snow White?
I don't know. She sits there and throws bagels to squirrels while she's doing her libs of TikTok. I've seen it on several of these ever. This time, she's apparently being trolled because she's got this thing on her lip. And on social media, people have been pointing it out to her. So she did a telehealth consult with a doctor because, of course, you wouldn't want to risk having to go to a doctor's office, or you'd have to wear a mask if you're Rosie O'Donnell so you didn't scare people, and to go in and get it checked. So instead she did telehealth, and she wants the world to know that she does not have herpes.
And so I talked to my doctor today, and I did a video telehealth, And they said that it's not a cold sore. It's some reaction to the sun. Now, I did sit in the sun yesterday, but I had sunscreen on. So I don't know. I will let you know tomorrow if I do, in fact, have herpes.
She has completely lost it. Like, anybody watching cares, number one, if she has herpes, or cares to speculate on how she might have gotten it. But, of course, she had to mention Donald Trump in the middle of this.
As some of the taunting from the MAGA people in the last couple of weeks. Hasn't it been fun, ladies and gentlemen, to be standing in direct opposition to everything he is and represents? And always have been. And always will be.
What do you think it does to her psyche that for standing in complete opposition to everything he is and his name who shall not be mentioned, that she just got destroyed on Election Day? That despite all of her online radical protestations about Donald Trump and everything he is and everything he stands for, the people of America overwhelmingly rejected her point of view. Overwhelmingly.
Well, she's really only at step one of the liberal meltdown, and that is posting rants on social media. Step two, shaving your head.
Denial, yeah.
Step three, saying you're warding off all men. And I think really, Ellen DeGeneres is the only one who's gone through all the steps of the liberal meltdown.
Did she shave her head?
Well, I'm sorry,
I mean,
you're right.
Her hair was already short.
She skipped step two. That's right. She went out of order here, but she did move. She fled the country.
Has she declared celibacy? I mean, that's...
Well, technically,
I thought
she warded
three.
Off men years ago.
Well, that's probably true. That this is now she lives in the United Kingdom and posts a video of herself in pubs over there, which I love pubs. Don't get me wrong. What's wrong with that? All right, let's look ahead here. Jesse Jane Duff coming up next. There's lots of talk about what goes on with Pete Hegseth and his nomination. We'll get her thoughts on that, but I've got to get her comments on what Bill Clinton said this morning. On Morning Joe, you just about won't believe it. We'll be back with that right after the break.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20, code pod20, for 20% off your first product.
Donald Trump's father's main political advisor, and then President Trump. And Roy Cohn said, no matter what happens, always deny everything, always attack, and always accuse other people of doing what you're doing.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Oh, my, Jesse Jane. Bill Clinton on with Morning Joe today saying that's Donald Trump's mantra is to lie, lie, lie. From the chief liar himself.
You know, it's very hard to swallow because every American knows how he lied to Americans. He just simply sat right there and looked at all of us and said he didn't do something that we know he did. Yeah. And I mean, let's talk about Paula Jones and the litany of Jennifer Flowers and all of these other cases that were essentially a black mark on him. And look at Anita Broderick. She has never backed down. How many years has she just never backed down? And if there was any truth, if she was lying, why didn't they sue her for defamation? You know, all of these women. I mean, he had to settle with Paula Jones. That's another thing. He had to settle for, and he was disbarred because of Paula Jones. So, I mean, a lot of people forget about everything beyond just Monica Lewinsky. But this is the tactic that we're told that the left uses, repeat a lie long enough till people believe it. And that's what they do.
That's exactly what they do. It's just funny. He's on there this morning claiming that he blamed the mainstream media for Hillary losing in 2016. He said that all the headlines claim she did something wrong with her email than that even Trump's Justice Department proved that she didn't do anything wrong. And I keep going back to my favorite soundbite from Trey Gowdy. Listen.
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
I'm sorry. I love the fact that Bill Clinton's trying to rewrite history, but we're not going to allow that.
Well, it's funny. He's blaming the mainstream media, and I'm going to agree with him. They finally did their job.
Yeah.
You're right, Bill. They reported correctly for the first time. And then, of course, everything was stacked against President Trump. After that, they flipped on President Trump. But for that one moment, James Comey was actually reporting truth. I don't know what happened to James Comey knowing all of these facts. I don't know why they didn't pursue a more serious charge against her. I don't know any of that. But there's something twisted about James Comey because he's got this love-hate relationship for his own Democratic ambitions. Yeah. Because on one hand, he's spilling the beans right before the election, which was detrimental to her. And then on the other hand, he's saying, but we're not going to pursue this further. She's off the hook. It's not that serious, even though it took us days to put all this stuff together. He explained it as like data scattered all over a floor like broken glass trying to put it together.
I couldn't help but notice Matt Gaetz's wife, Ginger, posted to X yesterday with a picture of Matt that says big news coming next week. So obviously he's out as AG, but do you think that Trump would pick him to serve in his cabinet in some capacity, maybe in a role where he would not have to be confirmed by the Senate?
Yes, absolutely, because there's no poor relationship between Matt Gaetz and President Trump. And when he had decided not to be a distraction and withdrew from this nomination, it doesn't mean that President Trump was telling him, you know, dude, you're done, you're toast, because everything about Matt Gaetz that we know was already out there in President Trump's hands. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something positive coming for Matt Gaetz. He's definitely not going to go shirk away into the shadows and play golf the rest of his life.
You know, the big news overnight, Jesse Jane, was this, Assad being run out of Syria, and he's taken refuge in Russia. And some people on the left have tried to use that to attack Tulsi Gabbard for some comments she made in the past about Syria or Assad or something like that. I mean, there's really no length to which they won't go to try to damage Trump's nominees.
Well, the thing, I think everybody knows that Tulsi Gabbard does have these comments out there and remarks made out there. And I just truly believe that she's going to be capable of explaining and or defending herself.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that, in all fairness, sometimes people may not like what I say. I don't believe everything's a conspiracy theory. I don't believe everything's going after her. I think this is par for the course with any political nominee. We do it to them when it's their people coming up. We look for quotes. We look for things. And we essentially discuss those things. I don't like it when it becomes an attack. People say it's an attack. Honestly, this is the process. When you're going to go through a Senate confirmation, you're going to be held accountable for everything. And if you can rise above it, you know, if you can rise above and essentially show how you are the best person for this job, you will get nominated. I mean, you will get the votes in the Senate. It's really that simple. And every single person out there knows you must be, you're going to go in and dig up their stuff. It's just a matter of who's in control. Well, you tried to dig up all the stuff on the left when they were getting their nominees, but there was no way we could stop it because the Senate had the majority with the Democrats. So even if we dug up the dirt, we weren't getting anywhere. And that's essentially where it stands. I think Tulsi Gabbard will be fine, but who am I? I mean, I predicted Donald Trump would win in 2020, so here we are. But I did predict he would win, and I'm being sarcastic here. We all know what happened in 2020. I knew he was winning in 2024 because I knew behind the scenes what we were doing to ensure that we didn't have any court dates after the day of election to protest what they were doing wrong. We took everything to the courts and to the front of the people before those polls closed so that they had to reverse and take corrective action immediately, along with the 300,000 volunteers and 500 attorneys at every single swing state. They couldn't pull the shenanigans, and that's why we got the results by, I believe it was probably about 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m. We knew he won. Newsmax called it first, and I was like, yep, I knew it. I knew it. We had it.
So bigger picture then, what do you think the fall of the Assad dynasty essentially means? Because the U.S. has already reacted, worried about essentially ISIS trying to take control of the government there in Syria.
They already have a guy that's basically, he was a kind of a pseudo Al-Qaeda representative that's now in charge, and he says that he is going to be more open-minded. He's changed from when he was 20 years old. So basically, you just traded one hand for another hand. And I've gathered Pentagon was on one side, CIA was on another side, essentially. And so it's basically, the devil's going to be in the details of this. I dare to say they're not going to become a republic or a democracy. It's going to just be another form of, we got rid of one jerk, and we're going to get, and I would say another word, but you'd have to censor me. but we will get another. So we're just going to get a new, fresher version of what, maybe not like Assad, but another version of extremism, because that's what they have in that that entire region, is a lot of extremist ideology, and don't think it's going to go away overnight.
Well, I mean, I guess we see what happens. I'm just thrilled that there's going to be somebody with some intestinal fortitude taking the office on January 20th.
Absolutely. President Trump couldn't get there quick enough, and I loved seeing how the reactions were at Notre Dame, and that he was able to work that room very beautifully, and everybody greeted him. They knew that he was the boss, he was the king, and, well, we don't have kings, but you know what I mean. The king of the room, I should say.
Yeah.
He definitely knows how to command people, and they know that the new sheriff's in town, but beyond that, he definitely is not going to tolerate letting our country get run over by these foreign leaders.
That's the headline tomorrow. Jesse Jane Duff says Donald Trump will be a king.
No, don't do that. Don't do that to me. I will blame you. I will send you a cease and desist, Mark.
I got you. We'll talk to you next week, Jesse Jane. Thanks.
All right, everybody, take the hill. It's going to be another long week. We got to watch Joe Biden flumble his way out of Notre Dame because he couldn't even find his way there.
All right, thank you. We're going to be back with Tom Ackerman in just a minute.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom, what a weekend for Mizzou basketball, huh?
What a great weekend of sports.
No kidding.
Just a great weekend of sports. Nothing like a good old court storm at Mizzou Arena.
Yes.
The Tigers beat Kansas. I've seen that game many, many years, and it never gets old when Kansas goes down. And Mizzou got it done, and they looked unbelievable yesterday. I was calling the Billikens game, so I was keeping an eye on it before we started our 2 o'clock tip. They tipped at noon in Columbia. And then I went home last night after the SLU game, and I watched the first half on replay because ESPN Plus has that cool app where you can watch all the replays. And, man, that place is rocking. And they got steals. They were suffocating. They were ready to go. Dennis Gates is a stud. I really like his team a lot. And they played great. They look like a tournament team. Now, there's a long way to go, but the way that they're built, the way they defend, and they did it all without one of their best players. Caleb Grill was out. They looked awesome, and Kansas loses the ball game, and they've actually lost back-to-back games. Great game. Great win for Missouri over Kansas. Now you got to kind of keep that going, but the bragging rights game now against Illinois, interest level goes up heavily here in St. Louis for that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
different. You know, if Mizzou draws interest in St. Louis, but you know, they got to be cool, they got to be trendy, they got to be exciting for St. Louis fans, I think, to get on board, and they have now. So a win over Kansas, and we'll see what that looks like on December 22nd at Enterprise.
Noon, by the way. That keeps it.
Is it? I did not see the game. What was there any like? Was Kansas at full strength?
Yeah, Kansas was at full strength.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Hunter Dickinson.
I didn't know if anybody was hurt or
all the big guards and everything, but Mizzou had, you know, just another gear. I mean, they were ready.
Wow.
And the Indiana transfer, Tamar Bates, had 29 points to lead him. He can be a streaky player, but when he's on, he's on. And he had 5 steals. He was great, really up and down the board. I mean, this Mark Mitchell that they got from Duke, that transfer who, you know, wanted to play more on the perimeter for Duke, and so he comes over to Missouri. He looks like a Dennis Gates-type player, just long, athletic, all over the place. They were great. Crowd was great. I mean, you could hear it through the TV. Roar of the crowd. It was back. Like, that's the Mizzou I remember.
That's awesome.
That's Mizzou basketball like I remember. That was very, very cool.
I mean, speaking of Mizzou, I just saw Mizzou football was announced as to playing Iowa for the Music City Bowl, which is awesome because it's December 30th, so you could spend, I guess, New Year's Eve in Nashville. And what a cool city. It's drivable, which I'm sure they like because obviously more Mizzou fans are likely to go there.
Yeah, I was just in Nashville last week. I mean, it's a great town.
City.
Yeah, cool city. Great place for both fans to go. Two great fan bases. Eli Drinkwitz dropped that scoop on KMOX yesterday before they announced it. He was like, I think we're going to play Iowa in the Music City Bowl. I'm like, oh, thanks, Coach. But it was good. And then Illinois has a tough one. I mean, they're going to play South Carolina in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Eve, but a good game for them as well to elevate their brand. I think really good years for Mizzou and Illinois, both 9-3. Both very good years, and both programs, I think, are on the rise. I really do.
Have these bowl games lost anything, given the fact that sometimes players just announce they're not going to play, like Luther Burden won't play in that bowl game?
I do, yeah, and that's why I think the 12-team playoff is so much better. I mean, you have all these bowls and teams that weren't in it and didn't care. Now it's a little different. Now you have 12 teams that are playing for the ultimate prize, the national championship. And while Mizzou and Illinois get to play in bowls, and that's good. And yeah, they'll be losing some players, but it's still big brand, big name, exposure, national TV. It's great for the program overall. I mean, Mizzou beat Ohio State, that was a shell of itself, but they beat them. Beat a brand fair and square in the Cotton Bowl on national TV to go 11-2. So, you know, the same thing applies, I think, in some of those bowls. But in the college football playoff now, you know, these games mean a lot. And it is going to be an absolute blast to see how that all pans out.
So Friday night is the Battle of Indiana?
The first game out of the gate is Indiana at Notre Dame on a Friday night in South Bend. It could not be a better situation for IU. Could not be better. Two-hour drive up, a little more than that maybe. You'll have some fans will get in there and invade that place. It's like, you know, right now the get-in price is like $1,200 just to get in there.
Wow.
It's the demand's through the roof. Notre Dame favored by 7.5. I'll be interested to see how that line fluctuates, but I love it. I love it for the Hoosiers. I think it's a great opportunity and stage for them. I couldn't ask for a better situation except to host a game, which wasn't going to happen. The other games on Saturday will be good also. I mean, SMU, which got the nod over Alabama, I love that they did that. SMU will play at Penn State. Clemson will play at Texas. Clemson won the ACC, so they get in. And then the night one is a great one, Tennessee at Ohio State. And then your first round byes go to Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and Arizona State. They sit there and wait for the next week around New Year's to see how it all – it's going to be awesome. I mean, you know, you can't get much better than that.
It's true. It's true. When do these Major League Baseball salaries start to – not
when do we have
new records?
Billion-dollar deal.
We'll no get a kidding.
Yeah. A 15-year. What was the amount?
15 years, $765 million for Juan Soto. Now Juan Soto is, you could make the case he is the second best player in baseball to Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani's the best. Soto's probably the second best. But the Mets have endless funds. I mean, they were probably going to win this if it wasn't going to be the Dodgers or Yankees. There are only a handful of teams that could have Juan Soto. The rest of the teams, you know, are trying to. They have money. But, you know, a team like the Cardinals wants to build from within again and stop trying to patch this thing up. And then, you know, they'll have money to go buy a free agent when they have that opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, baseball is – it's crazy. I mean, the amount that they're paying these people are nuts, but the money's coming in. I mean, they have – you know, they have big network deals where they're paying big bucks. People are going to the games. Baseball is doing well overall. What you'd like to see, at least from a St. Louis perspective or smaller markets, is that some of that money gets shared a little more evenly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue, is that these power teams don't always win, though. I mean, the Dodgers won last year, but they won kind of a half World Series in 20, and they hadn't won since 1988 before that. Yankees haven't won since 09. They just appeared in the World Series for the first time since 09.
Soto was on that team.
You know, the Mets haven't done anything. The Mets haven't won since 86. So, you know, it doesn't always win to have the biggest payroll. Soto's a heck of a player. It doesn't guarantee anything, though.
This is really random, but did I see you went to a Rubik's Cube competition?
Yeah, my daughter, Audrey, has been playing with Rubik's Cube since she's 13 now. She's probably 7-8 years old, you know. And she picked up on YouTube. She started watching these YouTubers that can solve a cube in seconds. And she learned that it's an algorithm that you figure out and memorize to get the cube solved. And she got this thing down to 30 seconds and then under 30 seconds. And we're like, I think it's time we put you in one of these competitions you've always been talking about. They're hard to get in. I mean, they open the registration at 7, and by 7:01, it's over.
Wow.
We got her in to the one in St. Louis, and it was a top 100. Like, the YouTubers were there, like all these like celebrity Rubik's Cube solvers. And my Audrey gets in there. Our Audrey finishes out of 100. She finished 40th overall. Her fastest time was 17 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
She and crushed her best time?
She said her first one, she was like, she said her legs were shaking a little
bit. Oh, my God.
And then she kind of warmed up to it and looked around and saw all these competitors. And she ended up, they said, we're going to now announce the 3 fastest newcomers at the competition with an average of 20 point whatever seconds it was, Audrey Ackerman. I mean,
wow.
Angie and I looked at each other
good
with
for you.
Tears in our eyes.
Wow.
As she goes up the throne, it's so cool, like, to see somebody who's been, you know, as a hobby, she's been wanting to do this for a long time, and at 13, she overcame all that and did that in front of all these people. It's cool.
The video is nuts. Her fingers are, I don't even know how her fingers are moving that fast to rearrange it, and then she would set it down for 1 second, and you could tell she was analyzing her next move, and then she'd pick it up and quickly move her fingers.
It would take me 17 years to solve one of those things.
I've never solved one on that.
How much time do you have here? Are we pushing you?
I got Matt Pauly at 8:50.
Oh, so, yeah. So I have to ask, if at the NFL level, at the pro sports level, the league provides the football. So when you go to a Rubik's Cube contest, obviously, are they all set the same way for each competitor?
Yeah, and the cube, you can bring your own.
Oh,
so,
you can?
Yeah, but the rules and restrictions, I mean, it was interesting. You had to go through all of it. They had a tutorial for everybody. So they take your cube, they put it in like a container and with your name on it, they take it into this room, and then these judges or staff or whatever scramble it all the same way, the same algorithm of scramble, and then they put it back in there. It's delivered to your table. You're called from the waiting area to your station. You solve it in front of a judge. You go back to the waiting area until they call your name again.
Wow, I mean, that's so intimidating.
Yeah, it was wild, and she did great. I mean, it was really, it was cool to see, you know, and she's also a basketball player, softball player. My, you know, our oldest daughter, lacrosse and swimming. We've had some great competitions. This one was something we've never experienced before, any of us. And I asked Audrey on the way home, I said, do you want to do another one? She goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm
hooked
now.
She said, do you think I should start a YouTube channel?
Absolutely.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? She'll be a millionaire off that YouTube
page
here in a few years.
By the way, of the 100 people, and this is all ages, by the way. There were adults competing against these kids. She was probably one of 10 females, I would say, out of the 100. So, proud of her. Yeah, it was cool. Thanks for asking.
I'll have to share that video.
Fantastic.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Tom, congratulations, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah, we may have a plan. We may have a plan. I may not be here next week. No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate that. Yeah, that's a athlete, Rubik's Cube.
I'm telling you, go watch that. Go watch that. I'll post it to my social media.
I will. I'll have to watch that for sure. That's pretty cool. That's cool. We're going to be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wow, Carl, this came out 59 years ago.
Today.
This is what you're telling me. Wow.
Yes. Charlie Brown Christmas on, I guess, CBS. But now it's on Apple Plus TV. But they're making it available. If you do not have Apple Plus TV, just go to their website and you can watch it for free.
I did not know that. That's good. I always enjoyed that. Brings back childhood memories of...
And they mentioned Jesus in it. Which was... It's rare for Christmas specials.
That's very true.
It's always about Santa.
Very true. You know, I have to go back to this just because we were talking about it earlier with Jesse Jane Duff. I don't know what caused Bill Clinton to, it's only when my voice sounds like this, I can do my best Bill Clinton. But his voice is getting gravelly. And he was trying to tell Morning Joe why Hillary lost in 2016. And if you want to hear the funniest thing ever, it's to hear him explain how the mainstream media, who is really the public relations arm of the Democratic Party, is to blame for Hillary Clinton losing in 2016. Not anything else, just the mainstream media. Just listen in, please.
16, you had two highly unusual things. First of all, the mainstream media told the American people repeatedly that the biggest issue was Hillary's emails. That's what they said, not just Fox. When in fact, even the Trump State Department said she neither sent nor received a single solitary email on her personal device, marked classified, one. And two, she followed the rules as they then existed. The rule.
Yeah. To hear him try to defend the Hillary Clinton email saga at this point, all these years later, is really hilarious. Because, you know, I had to play the Trey Gowdy bite earlier where he gets James Comey to admit she did. And the bigger problem was, because she was Secretary of State, she could decide if something was top secret or not. And the point wasn't that she took a top secret email and emailed it to someone, but content in her own private emails concerning those topics was also considered classified. So she knew darn good and well what she was doing was wrong. But he wants to blame the fact that the media sold it as her destroying emails. I mean, what happened to the 5 phones she busted with a hammer? What happened to the server in their basement that they cleaned with the bleach bit? Why do they do all that? No, people, the American people aren't stupid. He just wants you, they want you to believe that you're stupid. It's what they want you to do. That just, listen to Bill Clinton there, enrages me to hear him do this. And he also claimed that Hunter Biden was not treated fairly by in the guilty plea, right? He wasn't treated fairly.
Yeah. Well, that was what was said in the 11-year pardon, was that he was targeted specifically because he was his son.
Yes.
Yeah. Did nothing to see here, folks. Did nothing wrong. I saw someone tweeted, debating if I should pay my taxes this year, considering Hunter Biden didn't have to pay his.
And didn't have to explain it, and didn't have to, you know, register as a foreign agent. None of those things.
And knowing our tax dollars are going to pay for studies like our, what was it, Japanese, some sort of Japanese bird, more sexually active
quail
on cocaine. Guys, that's what your tax dollars are paying for. I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. You should pay your taxes.
Should have.
I'm just saying.
Run the
if look you, for if tax breaks.
Seen anything from the laptop, you know that it worked on Hunter Biden. That's all I can say. The videos are out there. Do yourself a favor and don't Google that. All right, stick around. Kilmeade's next. With any luck, my vocal cords will be even better tomorrow. Let's hope. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.